Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's up, fellas? Welcome back to Convos Over Cold Brew with me, your host, Emma Abrahamson. Today we're talking to Alexa Ephraimson. She is a Nike athlete for Pete Julian's group here in Portland, Oregon. And she's actually one of my good friends here in Portland. We talk about her experience being basically a high school phenom. She went professional in high school, which is something that is unique and not often done. So we talked about that. We talked about her pro career so far and much more. So stay tuned for today's episode. Today's episode is brought to you by Inside Tracker. Do you want to run farther and faster and recover quicker and easier? Do you want to feel healthier than you've ever felt before? You need to make a change, and that's what Inside Tracker is all about. Founded by leading scientists in aging, genetics, and biometric data from MIT, Tufts, and Harvard, Inside Tracker is a personalized health and wellness platform like no other. What's their secret? First, Inside Tracker uses its patented algorithm to analyze your body's data and offer you a clearer picture than you've ever had before of what's going on inside of you. Then, Inside Tracker provides you with a concrete, science-backed, trackable action plan for reaching your performance goals and being your healthy best. For me personally, I discovered that I have super high cortisol. So using Inside Tracker's plan, I have been able to make nutritional changes I need, like adding more salmon and avocado into my diet to help lower those levels. So I'll get my blood work done again in a couple weeks, but it's been super helpful just to know that information because I literally had no idea. So being able to make those nutritional changes is awesome. So if you guys are interested, Inside Tracker is offering my listeners a 25% off discount to their entire store. So just go to insidetracker.com/Emma because change is an inside job. Today's episode is brought to you by something that I'm super excited to talk about, which you guys, if you follow me on Instagram, you probably already know this, but I have been working on for the last few months, I just launched Crazed Foods. It's my food brand, and specifically the Crazed Foods peanut butter coffee bars. The Crazed Foods bar, it's a peanut butter coffee bar sweetened with honey, which packs 55 milligrams of caffeine from real coffee. They're super simple, just peanut butter, coffee, honey, whey protein, and natural vanilla. I use them before I train and after I train too because they have 16 grams of protein. And they're a heck of an energy boost, plus convenient when I'm traveling around. We also just launched high protein iced coffee. It's in a chocolate mocha flavor and it's so good. I love adding it to my smoothies. Today I added it into my yogurt bowl and it was the perfect pick me up after my run and in between like my run and swim that I had that afternoon. So the reviews are already coming in on Amazon. So thank you to all who have rated and reviewed. I got to read one of the most recent ones from Madeline. She said, I almost don't want to give these such a positive review because I want them all to myself and I don't want them to sell out, but these are in fact so tasty and satisfying. I eat one almost every day and now I can't imagine my life without them. It's a little dramatic, but true. I've tried eating them as pre-run and post-run snacks and they've been great every time. The combo of peanut butter and coffee is perfect. 10 out of 10, super yum, and we'll be buying these again. So they're back in stock right now, those bars and the high protein iced coffee on Amazon, and you can pick up a box for yourself in the link attached to this episode. You can also just type in amazon.com/crazedfoods and it goes directly to the store. So hopefully you guys like them as much as Madeline did. Let me know what you guys think. And now let's get straight into the episode. Alexa, welcome to the podcast. I'm super excited to have you on. So thank you for joining us. To get started, do you want to just give a little rundown of who you are and what you're about?
Sure. First off, thank you for having me. I am from the Portland area. I grew up in Camas, Washington, went to Camas High School, ran there until right before my senior year of high school and signed with Nike. I'm about to start my 7th year being with them. And previously I was with my old coach, Mike Hickey. He was also my high school coach. And I recently just joined Pete Julian's group in November. And so I'm pretty excited. That sounds about good to me.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good little rundown. Wow, I cannot believe it's already been 7 years.
I feel so old, like, because the way I see it is, like, basically, if I had, like, signed when all the other girls my age, or I guess when I signed pro, I see myself almost as like a college grad at that time. So really, like, I see myself as like late 20s. Meaning good. like with Leo Connor or like Stephanie Brown, like that's how old I see myself, because I've been racing against them for so long. I don't see myself as like against a Carissa or Elise or a Danny Jones. Like, I don't see myself that young. Like, maybe I should, but
yeah, I mean, well, you are that young, so technically you should. But I mean, it makes sense if you've been racing those people for like that long. It makes sense for you to see yourself in, like, I mean, everyone has their like generation of runners that they grew up with racing. So
yeah, exactly. Yeah. So really, I see myself as like 29 or 30, but I'm 24. So
okay, well, that's cool. Then I'm sure, like, well, you have so many more years to come too. So maybe eventually you'll come back to the 24-year-olds.
Maybe, hopefully.
Yeah. Well, we're friends, but I feel like we've never really, like, I want to get to know you better, and I want to get to know your running history more. And I feel like we probably raced a couple times in high school. I mean, you demolished me. Like, I'm sure you came to Arcadia. I think you came to Arcadia one year and like demolished the field. But I'm so curious as to what like your high school experience was like, or like, I guess we can just start off with how you got into running in the first place, and we can just like go through the years.
Okay. So really got into running in like middle school. I feel like most people do. And I feel like most distance runners don't start off as distance runners. They start off as soccer players, or they'll do sprints in middle school. And so I was a hurdler in middle school. Super cool. Yeah, exactly. I like to joke that my pride and glory comes from my 7th grade Sky Ridge Middle School record in the 100 meter hurdles.
That's
the thing I'm most proud of, I guess you could say. And then freshman year in Washington, it's either like soccer or cross country or the same season, and like I was no good at soccer, and so I went out for cross country. And then our team was like decent. I think in the previous years they've gone like 8th at state, and so we ended up winning my freshman year. And then I also, like, Washington was so stacked when I was in middle school. I mean, I'm sure it still is now. I don't follow high school as closely, just because I'm old now, like I said.
Yeah, I'm 29, so.
I know, so many years removed from high school. But like, I had Katie Knight and Maddie Myers and like Amy Eloise to like race against, and they were national caliber athletes. And so it was really cool to be able to like race them from such a young age, and like really set such a high standard for myself, but also just like representing Washington on a national level. And so that was freshman year. And then I qualified for NXN individually. And also, like, I think me and Sarah Tsai, do you remember her?
Yeah. I remember her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So like, we were sort of like the little freshman buddies, like making it up in the NXN world. And we were just like, I don't know, we were sort of two peas in a pod freshman year, trying to like figure out what even NXN was at that point, because your team had like qualified multiple times, right?
Yeah, we went twice, but okay. Yeah, it'd be so nice to like go with the team compared to individuals. I always kind of felt bad for the individuals because they seem so lonely.
I know. I will say Katie and I did a really good job of making like all the individuals feel like a team. And so my team had qualified sophomore year, but then like my junior year, I tried to like continue that because I had like Ella Donahue and Sarah Sy again. And so I tried to like make it a team thing, because like you said, it is a huge difference between like going with your team or going with a bunch of not randos, but really randos.
Yeah, people that you're not training with every day.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And then freshman year, I got invited to the Dream Mile when that thing was still happening. And so that sort of, I think, helped jumpstart like, oh, I can be like actually decent at this thing. And so, and then I had qualified for World Youth Championships, I think, after my sophomore year, and World Juniors after my junior year. And so that also sort of jumpstarted like, oh, because I didn't really like know what professional running was. And I don't feel like you do unless you're somewhat familiar with this world, you know? Mm-hmm. And so that sort of really opened up my eyes to like even running being a career, let alone like something that people do post-collegiately. And then I had ran Milrose my junior year. And so I think that sort of helped me get on the map in terms of like as a professional. And then I, instead of the Dream Mile my junior year, that's when it was also happening on the same weekend as the New York Diamond League when it was still happening. And so I had got thrown into the Diamond League my junior year. And I think that's what really took me off.
Yeah, man, when you're running Diamond Leagues in high school, then that makes sense as to why. It definitely puts you on the map.
Like, yeah.
So were you always good? Like, were you good in middle school? Like, outstanding? Okay, well, just tell us your times.
Okay, I think I ran like 5:05 for the 1600 in eighth grade.
Okay, yeah. So that's like pretty good.
Yeah, but like I think it's because I was so poor at soccer, like that probably fueled my inner fire.
Yeah, that makes sense. And then like how good were you? So you had an amazing freshman year, like qualifying to all those individually and then qualifying the Dream Mile too your freshman year. How fast did you run?
I think 4:40.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that is a huge jump. That is a huge from 5:05 to 4:40. Massive jump. So that definitely like puts you on the radar from the start, especially back then when like people were 4:40 used to be really hard. Now
I know. Running
4:30, and it's like, oh, they're pretty good at running.
Yeah, seriously. Everyone and their grandma's running it now. Jeez.
Yeah, I'm like, man, the bar has been set
it's
high.
Crazy.
But
yeah.
Props to all the high schoolers these days.
Yeah.
Well, you were iconic when you were in high school. So what were your times by the time you finished high school?
I mean, like, it sort of depends on what you define as high school. Like when I graduated high school versus when I like had signed and wasn't high school eligible anymore. Because like my junior year, I ran 4:07 for the 15, 2:03 for the 8, and I think 9 flat for the 3K.
Okay, so you signed up for your junior year to go professional.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I forgot about that. Man, that is, I just can't even imagine it. Like, I can't even imagine being a junior in high school being like, okay, time to start my career now. Like,
well, it's like, I didn't even realize it either. And I didn't realize how big of a jump it was going to be. And I think that like, I had a really good support system that helped keep my head on my shoulders. Whereas I feel like some people wouldn't be able to really take it on, or just like so many things can go wrong, quite frankly.
Yeah man,
especially
I want to dive into
female athletes.
Yeah, exactly. And I kind of want to dive like farther into that, because I want to dive more into like, I mean, the physical too, but also the mental side of all of that, because like I said, I can't even imagine being a high schooler just deciding to start racing the pros, like going to a Diamond League race while you're in high school. How did you handle that mentally? Like, were you just kind of naive to like the world, or like
literally? Yeah, like I was just such a naive runner. I feel like as the older you get, like the more knowledgeable you get, obviously, and so like the more you're gonna overthink things. And like when I was in high school, I was a child. Like, I didn't even, like, I just didn't overthink at all whatsoever. I was just like, oh, I'm going to go run this race.
Yeah. Oh, I'm just going to run this race against fast people. Like, yeah. Oh, to be a high schooler again and think that way. It's crazy. Seriously. I don't know what changes from when you're, like, in high school to beyond, but it's like, why am I thinking so much now?
Yeah, seriously.
So, like, what made you decide to go pro and, like, forego NCAA running and all of that? Was it, like, what elements went into it for you?
It was a little bit, like, if something's working, why fix it? Because obviously changing coaches can be really difficult, and also you never know, like, how a coaching's training philosophy is going to line up with how well your body responds. A little bit of, like, strike while the iron's hot. And I wasn't sure, like, if I was going to be able to have, like, contractual opportunities when I did, like, depending on how you do in college. And then also, oh, it was, like, that Diamond League was the same weekend as NCAAs. And I had ran a few seconds faster than, like, the winner of the 1500. And so I was, like, how much is college going to challenge me? And, like, in retrospect, I'm sure it would have done great things, and I'm sure it would have, like, helped me grow in ways that I wasn't able to grow not going to race in the NCAA. But at the same time, I was like, I know that I'm going to be challenged for sure at the professional level. So those are the main three factors going into it.
So I asked on my Instagram if people, like, had questions for you, and a lot of people, they asked the question, do you regret not going and running in the NCAA?
You know, I get that question a lot.
I'm sure you do.
Yeah, especially when I was in, when I was, like, actually college age, yeah. Like, early 20s.
Yeah, now that you're 29, like, you probably just don't get...
I honestly, it's, like, it was such a long time ago, it doesn't even matter. But I will say, I don't regret it personally. I think that, I don't think it's for everyone, though. I think that there has been people who have gone through and sort of get thrown in the ringer and don't, like, make it out, and or they're like, it's just, like, it is very, very difficult. And that's even me speaking, whereas I haven't, like, PR'd in a couple years. Like, I've come close and I've been able to, like, stay consistent, but it's really hard to stay consistent and from that, like, 18 to 22, just because the female body changes so much. And so, like, for females, I think it's a lot harder than for males to forego the NCAA system.
Yeah. Is that something that you, like, anticipated when you decided to go pro? Were you like, my body's going to change and, like, running is going to feel different at all? Because I feel like a lot of people don't see it coming. I don't know. But yeah, what was your experience with that?
No, I didn't realize it was a thing, quite frankly. Like, and I don't think a lot of, it's just like, we're not really educated on how much our bodies are going to change and how much our hormones are going to affect, like, literally everything. And so I didn't see it coming at all. And I think that it is a struggle that females face. Like, I definitely struggled with it. And so I think that it's just something that also needs to be addressed in general, whether you're considering going pro, considering competing in the NCAA, really, like, at any point during that late teens, early 20s.
Yeah, I think it's, like, I mean, regardless of the level that you run at, it's just in those years of, like, the puberty years, yeah, of, like, yeah. You know, 16 to through college age, I would say. It's, like, your body changes so much, and everyone goes through it at some point, so.
Yeah,
I don't
yeah,
know why, exactly. Like, that was not a thing. Like, people did not talk about it. I feel like there's more conversation about it now, but even, like, nowadays, there's not that much discussion of it, or, like, how to get through it, or, like, resources to go to for, like, people that are struggling, like, mentally or even physically. Well, like, people just, it's like just a, I don't know, you're thrown into it, and then you just kind of have to deal with it. And you also feel like you're going through it alone. I feel like a lot of the time, you're like, you feel like you see a lot of people that are successful at the same age as you, and they're like, why are they not, like, dealing with this like I am? But, like, what would you say, like, helped get you through all of it?
I think that just, like, having a really close support system. Like, I'm really close with my family. I had some, or have some really close friends that also just make you remember that running isn't the end all be all. Like, as much as it seems like it in the moment, like, you sort of have to I think that because of like the challenges that we feel we face, and this is not just for females but for males as well, like you're gonna put that extra stress on yourself, and if you don't have like a soundboard that can sort of like relieve that stress and anxiety and pressure that you feel, it's just gonna continue to accumulate, whether it turns into something bigger mentally, if it turns into injury. Like I think that having that really sound support system is going to help you get through all the changes that you have to go through when you're becoming an adult, whether you have running or any other sport involved.
Yeah. And I feel like being able to discuss it with other runners or like other teammates, I feel like is really important too, especially if you're on like a female, like group of females, you know, on a team. Mm-hmm. I feel like it should be an open discussion talking about it, because it's like everyone goes through it. So why are we not talking about it more so? And it's like, you can definitely get through it. And it's like, it's a very challenging time period, but like, I don't know, you're a perfect example of someone that dealt with it and has like gotten through it and is still a very successful, like professional runner. So I mean, it's been really fun to follow along. But did you ever like struggle with injuries or anything during the past couple years at all?
I was pretty blessed with being pretty injury free. My freshman year, I had a stress reaction in my shin that only took me out for a couple weeks. In 2019, I had a foot injury that was probably my biggest injury or running related injury to date, and that took me out for like 2 months, and that sort of screwed over my summer, but I was able to sort of make a quick comeback from that. And then I had shoulder surgery last year, which was sort of a big thing, but it like wasn't, it was one of those like, oh, COVID's happening, oh, there's no races happening, I should probably get this addressed sooner rather than later.
Yeah, I mean, that's like, wait, how did that come about?
I had fallen off my bike.
Oh no.
Yeah. And then I had also fallen off of some boxes that I was doing like plyo box jumps off of. And so I had, I had torn my labrum and tripped my humeral head and my right shoulder.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. So I had to like have orthoscopic surgery and be in a sling for 6 weeks, but it's fine.
And that was all during COVID.
Yeah, that was like last June and July.
Okay, well, I mean, yeah, I guess that's not the worst time, but I mean, no time is a good time for that to happen.
No, not at all.
Box jumps are sketch though. Like I only see people getting hurt on those things.
I know.
Especially runners. Yeah. I feel like they don't really have the hops, you know? It's not like,
I will say, like, I've had the discussion before whether like runners are athletes, and I think it sort of depends.
So are runners athletic?
I think most are not.
I would agree with that. I don't really think I'm not athletic. Like I'm not coordinated. I fall every time I go out for a trail run. Like I can't balance at all.
Well, I guess like you have to figure out what the definition of like an athlete is. I mean, I think if you're like coordinated, that definitely helps. Some people think that the definition of an athlete is be able to like be shown some sort of athletic activity and you can like emulate it really well. I don't know about that necessarily.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think runners are.
I would consider all of us athletic, you know, for my own personal sanity and confidence, I am an athlete. So just don't ask me to throw or kick a ball because I will not be able to do that for you. So that is
or
funny,
do a double leg like, hop over something. Yeah.
Yeah. So is running a sport?
Of course running is a sport. Just I don't know for athletes. Because we can run in a straight line. Like, I don't know if that's necessarily athletic per se.
That is so funny. We just have this debate. This is what the podcast is. It turns into, is running a sport debate? Everyone watching is like, yes. And we're like, no, actually.
Actually, contrary to popular belief.
Yeah. Okay, well, recently you made the switch to Pete Julian's group. So you were with your high school coach for the years before that, yeah?
Yeah.
So what made you make the switch?
It was a little bit like the opportunity arose, and I had been with my coach a long time. I had been with him for probably about 10 years, and he made me into the athlete and like person I am today. And so I can't like thank him enough for helping me get like all my races and times and just like and mentality. He really helped me become who I am today. But I will say there was a part of me that really wanted to be surrounded by athletes that were better than me so that I could be pushed both mentally and physically and psychologically, and just like be put in a situation where I am definitely like the scrub of the group. And I think that you get that when you go to college, and obviously I didn't have that opportunity. And so I think that this was like the best situation that I could be in, is just like being in a group full of medalists that, and people that are really, really going to be in medal contention. And I also really liked that the team was so international. And so like, you're not necessarily fighting girls for spots in practice day to day. Like, we have Jess, who's Australian, Coco's German, Ray is in the 800. And so you can genuinely like get excited for your teammates.
Yeah, without having that little thing of jealousy in the back of your mind.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that's going to be like, that's necessarily the case for the other groups, but I knew that it just helped make things easier, I guess I should say.
Yeah, that makes sense. When you were with your high school coach, were you training alone then?
I had some teammates that would come in and out every couple months. And then I also would train more often than not with like community college guys,
okay,
which is great and all. And it's always nice to have company, but I think it's a little bit different dynamic when you actually have like teammates, especially girls. Just like mentally, it's like, oh, because I feel like if you're being pulled around by a guy, you're like, well, it's a guy.
Yeah, no. It's so different. I mean, my only experience is like in high school working on the JV boys team, and the guys like pace everything so differently than girls do too. It's like very weird. I don't know, but it is very different to like run and train with girls compared to guys. So I can imagine that it would be more, I don't even know what the right word is, but
I don't know, it makes it more realistic.
Yeah, more realistic. That's a good term. So how is it, like, would you say that you're the scrub of the team then? I mean,
yeah.
Is that what you call yourself?
Definitely when I joined. I think I'm a few levels up from scrub now. Okay, but like, nice. I'm still definitely have a long way to go.
Yeah, what has it been like? I mean, what is your team dynamic like? I'm so intrigued.
I mean, it's really cool because all of us are like 24 to 26. I mean, we have a bunch of international people, and so that creates a cool dynamic too in terms of like different cultures and stuff like that. We were in Phoenix for 2 months, and it was Donovan Brazier, Craig Angles, Eric Jenkins, Charlie Grice, Coco, Raven, and I. And like all of us are under 26, 27. And so like, it's really cool because I feel like, I mean, I would have loved to have Shannon Roberry's on our team, and I haven't been able to train with her as a teammate yet. And I'm really excited to, and I'll be able to in a couple weeks. But I think that all the young people, like, it's,
they all hang out.
Yeah, they all hang out, they all goof off, and so it's a really fun training environment. But with that said, some, like, I think that there's that balance between like having a good time but also like being focused, so you sort of need to know like when to turn it on and turn it off.
Yeah. Is it different, like, is it really different compared to your training before, or like even the dynamic of like,
oh yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. I'd say for sure. I mean, like, I was really close with my old coach. But it's just different having people your own age that you can talk absolute nonsense with.
Yeah. That is pretty fun.
Yeah.
And knowing a lot of people on the team, I can imagine, I can just imagine the conversations that you guys are on a day-to-day basis, so.
Like the most random conversations too.
Oh my goodness, I feel like I wouldn't be able to stop laughing in that
yeah.
Well, what has like been your favorite pro experience so far? I mean, you got quite a few years to go, so.
Yeah, I know. Probably the travel part of it. I really like to travel in general, and I think that because running is so international, you're able to go to places that you wouldn't not necessarily ever want to go to, but like things
it wouldn't be on your list.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. But then you're like, oh, this is actually like sort of sick. And so just probably that just in general has been a pretty cool experience.
Where's been the best place that you've been to?
You know, I really associate how well I like a place with how well I race there. And so
that would make sense.
Like I hate Belgium, but I love Italy because I've for some reason always raced really well in Italy. I also have had some really cool opportunities where like my family's from Sweden. And so I've raced in Sweden before and it'll be like my third cousins came and watched the race, or like I was in Peru in 2019 and one of my best friends from Chile like flew up and then we were able to go be tourists around Machu Picchu. So it's like those little connections where I have family or friends that are able to come with me that really helps make it that much more special.
Yeah, that sounds so fun. I'm always like so jealous of all the runners that are traveling throughout Europe over the summers. Mm-hmm. What is that like? Like what, how do you get your training in? I feel like I'd be so distracted. Like, how do you find tracks to go to? How do you find places to run? How do you not get lost? You know?
Yeah. I mean, I think it really depends on who you travel with. I think that depending on who you travel with can make it really stressful or make it really organized.
That would make sense.
Yeah, like and then also like you just sort of have to go into it knowing like I won't probably be able to be a tourist very much until after the race.
Yeah.
But there was one summer where I raced like 5 times in 2 weeks over there, and I was just like, I'd race and then the next day I'd fly to a different country and then have a rest day and then race and then like just that cycle for like 2 weeks straight. And so
bro, you're not even training at that point. It's like literally you just no. Race it.
Yeah, and that's sort of how the European circuit goes, is like you hopefully should be fit by then.
Yeah,
and
so you're not trying to like cram in workouts when you're there.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that would make sense. What's like the next race on tap for you?
I think I'm doing Drake.
Okay. When is that one?
It's at the end of April.
Oh man, kind of coming in hot.
I know, seriously. And then we're going to Park City starting May 1st. So okay. I'll be up at altitude.
Do you like altitude camp?
I like camps in general. I think just like being able to be in a place fully focused on running, it really makes you realize, like this camp in particular, I'll be able to be with Shannon Roberry, and so I'm really excited to like use her, or not use her, but like learn from her as a teammate and a mentor and stuff like that, because I've been racing her ever since I started. I mean, like I've been in many races with her, so I'm really excited to just like be in a training camp environment where I can fully focus on running.
Yeah. So why haven't you been able to train with her? Has she been out of...
She's based out of San Francisco.
Oh, okay. That makes mm-hmm. more sense then. Well, Park City's beautiful, so that would be a good place. I feel like a lot of people end up going there. There or Arizona is a hot spot for...
yeah, seriously. It was like... Probably like 3/4 of the running world was in Phoenix in January.
Oh, I know. Should I be there? Like for no reason. I'm like, I feel like I should go low-key. Why would I go? I have no reason to be there. But everyone was there. And I was like, I don't, like all my friends were there. I felt like I was like, oh, seems like a hot place to be right now.
Yeah, seriously. It was like everyone and their grandma was there.
That's kind of fun though, because then you have like the whole entire running community. But then it's also COVID, so you can't really like people. So you just see people and you're like, hello. Please stay away from me.
Yeah, please don't get anywhere near me.
Okay, well, people, like I said before, people ask some questions mm-hmm. on Instagram, so we can just go through those. Make sure people get what they want. Episode. Someone asked, what are the ways that you've improved as an athlete over the years?
I think that running is able... I mean, I feel like, I don't know, when I say like just running, I think that you could probably apply this to all sports, but I think that there's so many different facets to athletics that you can really focus on that's going to help your performance, whether it's nutrition or recovery or mentality or spirituality, or just like physically pushing yourselves in different workouts. I think that you can really experiment with each of those like different subjects and figure out what works for you, what you don't like, and that in turn will help build confidence and sort of help propel your sports career, whether it is running or any sort of athletic endeavor.
Do you have anything specifically that you feel like you've like changed that has really helped you as an athlete in any of those categories?
I mean, I've sort of experimented with like nutrition, for example. Like I'm really into chia seeds and flax seeds right now, and I think that there's different like foods that can really help you. Or like right now I'm really focusing on getting more protein in and stuff like that. And so it's like little stuff like that that doesn't seem like that big of a deal, but I think is probably a bigger deal than we give it credit for. And so I think that just figuring out what works for you, like I'm trying to not drink coffee after noon after man, having this conversation at 4:30 and I'm drinking a cold brew.
Exactly. But I mean, I feel like it is a lot of like trial and error, and everyone is so different. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you can't take advice from one person because you have no idea if it's going to work for you. So like the chia and flax thing, maybe you need that, maybe someone else doesn't need that because they already get a bunch of like omega-3s or whatever that vitamin is or whatever that's called. But yeah, it is like very individual, but I really do like that. And yeah, it's just a lot of trial and error. So I agree. And next question, how was balancing it like college and being a pro? Because you went to University of Portland, right?
And so I was able to like take part-time in the springs, which is when I was traveling a lot, and then I'd go full-time in the fall. And so I'd usually take like, I don't know, 12 to 14 credits in the fall, and then anywhere from like 6 to 10 in the spring. And then also I transferred in so many credits.
Really? From because, high school?
No, from other colleges, because UP doesn't do online courses. I mean, besides COVID, but in general they don't do online courses. And so really like, so I graduated last December, but from all the, I had to go through 6 different schools like just transferring classes to like fulfill my business graduation like requirements. And so I'm amazed I actually graduated, quite frankly, because like all the different requirements and like transferring a certain credits to actually get the credit requirement that I needed to also fulfill the certain individual classes that were supposed to be at UP, but I just sort of like hoped would fulfill those requirements. And so I'm really happy I graduated, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, man. So did, when you like signed a professional contract, were you like, I'm still gonna do college? Or was it ever like a thought that maybe I just won't go to school?
It wasn't really a question. I was pretty set on going to school because I also know that running's eventually going to end. And it's not necessarily saying that you can't continue with a running related career after you've retired, or that you can't find a job. But I think that not getting a college degree does limit you to some extent. And I just didn't want to close that door. So I ended up going.
That makes sense. Man, that I can just imagine how much work that would be. I feel like a lot of talking to teachers being like, hey, I'm gone this weekend or I'm doing this, but props to you.
And that's one of the reasons why I went to UP, like being a smaller school, I was like being able to have smaller class sizes. I think it'll be important to have some sort of relationship with my advisors and professors. And so I think that really helped me.
Yeah. What do you want to do after running?
I have no idea. I mean, I'm 29, so I should probably know.
I was brainstorming. I was just brainstorming questions with Carissa on our couch downstairs. And I was like, should I ask her this? And she's like, oh, I kind of hate that question. I was like, sorry. Asked it anyways.
Yeah, I mean, so I'm a finance major.
Okay, so money.
Money. And so, like, I guess I could do something with that, should do something with that. I don't really know. I did a internship with a venture capitalist firm in UP in the Portland area that I'm still like doing a little work with. So maybe like, I don't know, wiggle my way into that after I'm done running.
Yeah.
I have a feeling when I'm done running, I'll either like be really closely associated with the running world, or I'll have absolutely like nothing to do with it.
I feel like that's a common answer. It's like either you're super ingrained or you just never are like mentioned in the running world again.
Yeah, or like have like no, just gonna be like an assistant coach somewhere on the side. Like you're just like nope. I'm like
no ties to the running
time. Yeah, you're like I've filled my time with this for however many years. Like I need to not look at it or see it for a long time.
Yeah. Do you see yourself like still running for a while? Like, yeah, I guess like, do you want to like go into marathons eventually? Like, what is your path? Do you think?
I don't really see myself going over the 5k at any like competitive distance. I think I'll probably run a marathon like at the very 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 end of my career. And when I say run, I mean like jog it, just so I can say that I like ran a marathon, because I know when I'm done running it's gonna be, and I take off however many months or years, it's going to be so hard for me to get back into it. Like, I just know myself. I will have to be a runner to stay in some sort of fitness after I'm done running, because I think that's the most efficient way for myself to, like, be fit. But I'll have no fitness whatsoever. I'm going to probably be doing, like, Zumba classes and stuff like that. I know my intrinsic motivation will be way different than it is right now.
Oh, well, I mean, I wonder why. Like, okay, this is a good question, actually. Are you going to make your kids run?
No.
No. Yeah, there's like, I like to ask people that because I'm always very curious, because some people are like, oh yeah, like I want to be a running family, like my kids are going to run, you know? But I don't know.
Like, I will force them to do some sort of sport, but I won't force them to do running.
Yeah, I agree. They need to be athletic.
Yeah. they need to be more of an athlete than just a runner, maybe.
Oh my God. They need to be an athlete.
Therefore, so they can't.
Everyone listening to this is just going to be offended by it.
I know.
I promise. Okay, we're all athletes, guys. Everyone listening to this, you are an athlete. Okay, next question before we dive too much into a hole. Is there anyone in the running world that you look up to?
I mean, when I had signed, I had always looked up to like Jenny Simpson and Shannon Roberry and Brenda Martinez, just because they were really the face of middle distance running for a really long time too. I think that their consistency is very admirable. And they're still running now, and it's been 6 years later, 7 years later or whatever. And so I think that just in general, that's been really cool to watch, especially since I can now compete against them. And especially cool now that I'm Shannon's teammate.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I'm sure that's going to be so cool to be able to train with her too. I'd be excited.
Yeah, and I've only heard like amazing things about her, so I'm pretty excited about that.
Yeah, well, Shannon, if you're listening to this, which I'm sure she is,
pretty excited.
Yeah, Alex is really excited.
I hope I don't come on too strong.
Yeah,
I'll try and tone it down.
Yeah, tone it down a little bit.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, this question is from Carissa. If you could be good at any other sport other than running, what would you choose?
I've always wanted to like get into snow sports, but because like Mount Hood's right here, right?
Yeah.
But I've always like never attempted it because I didn't want to get injured. And so I think being something like some sort of snow sport would be cool. But then at the same time, I don't really like to be cold. So I guess that's not a very good answer. I like hot chocolate though. So that'd be a good excuse to get hot chocolate like all the time.
Yeah, well, that makes sense. And like snow sports are so cool. You're like, that person's like really cool. Like you see someone skiing
flips
and you're like, whoa. But recently I've been getting into skateboarding, not myself, but like
really.
I'm not an athlete, so I can't do that. No, but I've been watching skateboarding, and that's like such a cool sport that I like didn't know anything about. I feel like it'd be really cool to be a good skateboarder. So,
or like surfers.
Yeah, or surfers. Yeah,
pretty cool.
Yeah. So, well, you know, maybe in another life we can do that. Yeah. Okay, well, the last question I will ask you to close out the podcast is, do you have one piece of advice to your younger self?
I always have this question, and I always, like, think of a different answer every time, so I'm not very consistent in my answers.
Okay, you just have a lot of advice, it sounds like.
I guess that's one way to put it. I'd probably say, like, I think that, I don't know, this is sort of cliche, but, like, really enjoy, like, especially as a high schooler, I think that's really easy to put a lot of pressure on yourself because you think that's like the end all be all, but really enjoy like being with your teammates and being like at these really fun races that you're not going to have the opportunity to. And it's even harder right now with COVID, but like there's so many cool events in high school that you're never going to be able to like compete in against, like a Brooks PR or an NXN or something like that. Like even if you aren't able to get to that level, but still like dual meets, even those are fun, you know. And very seldom will you be able to compete in something like that when you, or if you compete collegiately or professionally. And so like it might seem stupid at the time, but like they're fun in retrospect and they can teach you a lot too. So just taking every opportunity to enjoy the moment, and I don't know, very cliche, but I think it's really true.
No, I mean, it is really true. And I agree. I feel like some of my favorite running experiences came from those high school meets, like whether that was league meets where me and my teammates would like, I don't know, have a good time, like racing with each other, or like on the bus, scooping around, you know?
Exactly.
Like,
yeah.
Like meets like Brooks PR and NXN. Like if you have the chance to go, it's an experience unlike anything else. Like it's not anything that will be in college. Like there's no college experience that's like that. Like,
no,
it was just very distinct experiences. So I 100% agree. I do myself like wish I lived it up more. Cause like, you just don't have any idea, I guess. But now looking back at our old age of 24, we're both like, man, those right were good age. Days.
Yeah, seriously. And like you're brought together with so many other athletes that you're like, you make relationships with and you are able to follow for the rest of their like running life or just life in general. And so that's a really unique opportunity that some athletes, students, now it's just like athletes is like screaming at me. I'm just like runners in general, like might not be able to experience in other ways.
Yeah. And I think social media helps that with this generation. I feel like our generation was like, we were a little late to the social media game, but I feel like now all the younger runners are like so ingrained in each other's like training and racing and stuff on social media. It's kind of cool to have that little community on there. So live it up for sure. If you're younger.
Exactly.
Yeah, live it up. We'll just be the old ones over here. We're still young, so it's fine.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for coming on. I'm sure everyone learned a lot more about you. I know I did. I got a lot out of this. And it was just good catching up. I feel like we haven't talked in a time. So
I feel like I've been like in and out of the Portland area for the last like year and a half. So this is nice.
Yeah, exactly. Cool. Well, where can people follow you at?
I'm not on Twitter. I don't have a Facebook. That's how old I am.
Whoa. Okay.
Yeah, like I just never jumped on that train. I'm rarely on Twitter. If you want to get me, probably Instagram, just at Alexa Ethanson.
All right, everyone go give her a follow. I'm already following her, so well, thank you so much for coming on. To close out the episode, can we get a good old peace out, fellas?
Peace out, fellas.
Thank you guys so much for listening to today's episode of Convos Over Cold Brew. I hope you enjoyed it. I loved talking to Alexa. It's been a little while since I've seen her, so it was nice catching up and just learning more about her experience, considering she's one of the people that was like a legend when I was in high school and is still a legend to this day. So I hope you guys enjoyed today's episode. If you guys love the podcast, it helps me out so much if you rate and review on Apple Podcasts. It takes literally 15 seconds and it helps just add credibility to the podcast. So that means that I'm able to get higher profile guests and more people that you guys would like to see on the podcast. So it literally only takes 15 seconds, I swear. So go do that if you enjoy the podcast. If you want to submit listener questions or just be updated on episodes, follow at ComboZoverColdBrewPod on Instagram. Thank you guys so much for listening. I truly appreciate it. This is one of my favorite things to do. And I hope you guys are enjoying the episode so far, because I know I love doing them. So thank you guys again. And I will hear from you guys in the next one. Peace out, fellas.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.